minute, okay? All right, well, welcome. It's good to see everybody out tonight. Got just a few announcements here for the teen camp, and we'll mention this again. It's July 18th through the 23rd. This year will be a $300 registration, and it says we need to know who is interested so the camp can reserve rooms. And they don't have the fill-out papers yet, but if you're thinking about it, talk to John, and that'll be good. Now, the hot water heater is sprung a leak, so there is no hot water in the church. We can't get anybody to till next week to work on it, but they're going to get a new water heater and that. So there is. So if you go in the bathroom, try to wash your hands with hot water, nothing. But there is hot water in the back building for the ladies to cleaning. But it'll be a week. So this coming Sunday, whoever cleans this weekend, you'll have to just make do. And pray for Brother Haben. He left out. He texted me, said he was COVID-free. And I texted him back and said, well, you're probably going to get COVID while you're over there, and then you're going to have to stay for a month. Oh, that'd be so sad, wouldn't it? Yeah. Have to be stay in Hawaii for a month. I've never been there, been invited, but whatever, maybe someday. All right, let's go ahead and take our songbook, if you would, please, and turn over to 155. 155. 155. All right. Sorry, Cindy. Here's the la la. Lift up your head, pilgrims are weary. See, days are crossed, now crimson the sky. Night shadows flee, and your beloved awaited with longing. At last, draw it nigh. He's coming again, he is coming again. The same Jesus rejected again, he is coming again, he is coming again. With power and great glory, he is coming again. Dark was the night, sin warred against us. Heavy the load of sorrow we bore, but now we see signs of his coming. Our hearts glow within his joys. Runneth o'er, he is coming again, he is coming again. The very same Jesus rejected of men, he is coming. Coming again with power and great glory, it's coming again. Oh, blessed hope, oh, blissful promise, filling our hearts with rapture divine. Oh, day of days, hail thy appearing, thy transcendent glory for. He is coming again, he is coming again. Very Saint Jesus rejected of men, he is coming again, he is coming again. With power and great glory, he is coming again. Even so come, precious for Jesus, creation waits, redemption to see. Caught up in clouds, soon we shall meet thee. Oh, blessed assurance for he is coming again, he is coming again. The very yes, rejected of men, he is coming again. He is coming again. Great glory. He is coming again. I think that's it, isn't it? Is that number four?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. No, she did great. You know, we talked about that, trying to smile a little bit when you're singing. I don't know.
You're doing good.
It doesn't work when you smile. That's all right. Okay, Tom, come up and lead us, if you would, please, in 468. I will sing the wonder story. 468.
468. 468. I will sing the wonder story. I will sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his holy glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with
Cindy. All right, this is a regular church offering now. Use this for the glory of God and for the furtherance of His gospel. Travis, lead us in prayer, please.
Lord, we do thank You for blessed Calvary and for going there and for paying for our sins and giving us eternal life. We ask that You bless here tonight, Bill Dean, using, preaching, teaching. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Cindy. That's good. Does it hurt to smile? I guess. Does it? No, it doesn't hurt to smile. Sometimes, you know, they have that picture of the eagle, you know, that says, I think we even had it on the back up here. It says, I am smiling, you know, type of deal and that. And I'm not an eagle by any means, but sometimes hard to tell when you're smiling and when you're not. Now, which way does it take more muscles to do, frown or smile? Frown. I must be frowning all the time, but no, not at all. It's just the nature of the beast. All right. Well, it's good that Pastor Haven is, he's gone to Hawaii for a granddaughter's, I guess, granddaughter, is that right, John?
Yep.
Yeah, granddaughter's, I was going to say funeral, but wedding. So, oh no, it ain't a funeral. It's always a good time. So he's excited. He vacillated for a long time, so don't think he made this decision lightly, whether he should go or not, or whether he should stay here. Anytime a pastor's gone, there's a little bit of probably guilt or something, self-implied guilt going. So just pray for him. He'd be a good, I think there were going to be, there's 40-some family, gone. I don't, 40-some people going to be over that, from family all over the country, his sons and daughters. And I did give him, I said that already about the other, so. Well, let's go ahead and pray. You've got to put up with me tonight, so I hope it will be a blessing to you, and we can have a good time in the preaching of the Word of God, and that everything will go well. So let's pray with you, if you would, in your hearts, and as we go on. Father, Lord God, I'm so grateful for the cross of Calvary, God, that you saved my soul on the day that I realized that I could do nothing to get to heaven, and my sins were going to take me to hell. And Lord, I just surrendered to you and gave my heart and believed and trusted on what your finished work on the cross of Calvary. God, I pray that you help tonight as we look to your holy book and bless in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you take your Bibles, we're not, and just turn over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17, and we won't be going there right away, but we'll be looking. I'm going to look at some, and I changed the title of my message. I had it, The Secret of Having a Great Day. And I changed it because there's probably a lot of secrets of having a great day, but so I changed it to A Secret of Having a Great Day, because there are probably many out there. But this is one that can help, especially in these last days. I was telling some of the guys here a while back, and I'll have you out on time tonight, and everything. Well, what's on time? We'll have you as the usual. Yeah, time for you might be 10 or 12:30, but no, not really. We'll be good, but I was telling the guys, we're locksmiths, and we get this book. It's called The Locksmith Ledger, and you have to be a bona fide licensed locksmith to be able to get this. Kind of like something, maybe something that you have to be a police officer to be able to get. And I was looking in there and looking through all these technologies. I talked to one of the guys in the church about, you know, maybe we need to get on the get ahead of the game a little bit, maybe get some training and such so that we can get in on some of this new biometric security systems, because that's the way the world's going. But as I read much about it, there was two main deals that that they're going to kind of push through, that they were going to use. And one was eye recognition. And we've already seen that, you know, where they just scan the retinal and all that. But it doesn't have to, it's not just that anymore. It has to do with the blood in the eye. And they can tell that. And there was so much over that. And the other one was the back of the hand. Isn't that crazy? And guess who's put a patent in to be able to control that and help with that? It's Apple Watch. And they have a patent right now. And I was just, I was talking to these folks here the other day about, are you ever been kind of maybe get that chill? Or maybe a little bit, not scared, but kind of just, oh man, what's coming on? But we just see it's paving the way for the Antichrist, for him to come along, and just how easy it is, and it's just falling into place. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back soon. And I think you, John, they were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and I'm kind of slow on the math a little bit, but they were talking about 22 or 32 AD, I believe is the number they threw out there. So I do 2,000 years, you know, it's going to be 2032 before the Lord comes back. But it's not, you know, that's man looking at it, and I thought, well, I'll still be around if the Lord tarries. But I don't believe it's going to be that long. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back soon, and we need to be ready for his coming. You know, one of the secrets of having a great day, I like the days where you can get up, and I don't have those very many anymore, and most of you can attest, most if you're older, we're getting a lot of older people, well, more mature people in the church here, don't use that word, but when you slip your legs off the edges of the bed, what do you have to do? Sit there for a second. Why? So you can get the blood rushing. Oh, look at these young people are just laughing. It'll happen. If the Lord tarries, it'll happen. But sometimes it takes a little bit to get started, get going in the morning. But that one day, once in a while, slip the old legs out over the bed. And man, you just jump up and you get going and everything's great. You go out and hear the chickadees and the metal arcs and all that. And it's just a wonderful day. We get up that, and a lot of that times when it comes up to that and what happens during the day depends on us and what we do with it. Many times it's easier to, you know, when we get up in the, on my recommendation, I kind of got sucked back into the old Fox News a little bit, just the way since what happened in January and all of that, and a little concern for the nation of the United States, but you know what, I'm not going to look there anymore, because all it does is it's just drags you in the dirt, you know, what's wrong. I wrote this down because I came up with this. It says, what? Yeah, everybody's laughing like, oh, come on, you stole it from someplace and you ain't that smart. But whatever. Okay. It took me about 6 weeks to get this, but not really. But many times it's easier. I even wrote it down wrong. All right, I'm going to have to paraphrase. Many times it's easier to just look on the things that are bad, right? When you get up in the morning, rather than the things that are going right. And many times, if you're a business owner, even if you're working a job, you always wonder what kind of a mess you're going to get into or what's going to happen. You just wait to answer the phone and boom, we'll see what goes on. We have to be very fluid and very, if you're not fluid in what you do, nothing is set in stone anymore. We have to be able to adapt and go on. And that's not what we're talking about adapting. Well, that'll be at a later time. But what does the news dwell on? Does it dwell on the good things or the bad things? Bad things, because people want to, I don't know, it just drags you in the dirt. Sucks the life right out of you if you get hung up. And a lot of times, I've been there. I've been done that. I told you this one really bothers me. You people come in, they come up to you, and we're going to get to the Word of God here shortly. This is just introduction. But they came in, we had somebody come in the aisle. I said, how's it going? Into the shop the other day. And they said, oh, just living the dream, just living the dream. You know, very sarcastically like that. But if you're here today and know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you're living the dream. The dream, you know, it's a good thing. But for a lot of people, it's not a good thing. The days of working 40 years in a job, starting there out of high school and retiring from there is far gone. 7 years is about the average. But it goes on, and we know that the root of the problem, and we've seen this over and we know this, and it was happened when I was a kid, especially when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, that we know the root of a lot of what's happening today is because of the home and the family breakdown of what's going on. And the way the world's going and such like that. And we go on, science has gone to great lengths for the study on having a quality life and long life. They've spent billions and probably trillions of dollars just to be able to do that and to have a better quality of life. Where if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He died on the cross for your sins, buried and rose again the third day, we've got all that. We don't have to worry about that. I was so glad when the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was 21 years old, you know, I heard the word of God, and maybe we'll go on that a little later. But over in Psalm 4, chapter 4, verse 11, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith what? Be content. We have a hard time being content with what we have. I know, I've said this before, I turned 65 a little bit. So I'm looking at maybe not retiring. I will hopefully never retire, but getting on the system, you know, and doing that kind of thing, and I paid into it and all that a little bit. But when I was younger, when I was making what I thought bank, boy, it was just like there was no limit. If I saw this, I bought it. If I saw that, you bought it. And that, but as we get a little on the other end of the chain, a little close to the end of that last one, I tend to try to be a little more content. Debbie and I, sorry, my wife and I said I'd never use her name again. No, I lied too. But anyway, we're discussing about, you know, living, what are we going to do when we get older? Let's help you guys. And, you know, she wants a little house, about 900 square feet. 900 square feet? Something easy to clean. Just her and I and that kind of stuff, and that's to be content with things. She doesn't need all that fancy stuff where I do. I like the bells and whistles until you got to work on them or take it downtown or something like that. A lot of bells and whistles out there, and we need to be very, very cautious with those. Now, I'm going to ask, this is help me out here on this. We'll get in Luke chapter 17 here in a few minutes. If you had one of the two, only one, you had quality of life or longevity, what would you rather have? What? Quality of life. I'm the same way. I would rather have, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I live another year or another minute. I know where I'm going. I just wanted to be able to have a quality life with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to go on with Him and serve Him till the very end. But there's a lot of people that don't know where they're going when they die. And they haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, they would rather have long life. Now, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
How long is that? Everlasting. It's forever and ever and ever. I have that because I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest gift that has been ever given to anybody. We see these guys. I was talking to one of my friends about this guy, this Jeff Bezos. What is he worth? $100 billion? How do you spend $100 billion? It's got to be about the power or the influence or something like that, because that's we're to be content with that. All right, now we're going to go over there to Luke chapter 16. What we're going to look tonight is a word called gratitude. And gratitude is something is we don't see very much anymore. If you look it up in the dictionary, gratitude and happiness and thanksgiving are about the same. But gratitude is a little bit stronger meaning, a little bit more when you have gratitude. I can thank you. I can thank Dallas for whatever. But if I can thank God for the thing that He gave me and be able to use it for His glory or something, that's gratitude. Well, it's just like gratitude, eternal life. All right, we're living in one of the most exciting times for the blood-bought saved believer that has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and death on the cross of Calvary since then. That was now almost 2,000 years ago. And for us, this is the most exciting time. I believe this 100% in my lifetime right now. Because what's the next item of event? The rapture of the church. And that's going to come just any time. And whether you're, and I'm excited about this. So we see prophecy happening and the things that are going on in Israel and the Middle East and all that. You know, this is, I believe these times right now are better than even when Israel became a nation in 1948. Now, it's not better than the Christ dying on the cross, but it's the next best thing because I believe we're going to see here today. Now, if something happens, you guys are up here pulling me down the hall, down the aisle in my coffin and say, hey, the Lord didn't come back. Well, he's still coming back, whether I'm right or wrong. And maybe you will, but I don't think so. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. You know, when you look up, a lot of times the internet is, I don't know, I know it's all algorithms and all that kind of thing, but if you go up, and like I put in, gratitude begets. And then I didn't know what was going to come up. What do you think came up? Happiness and thanksgiving. And just those things, kind of thinking out of the box a little bit. And a lot of times we don't have the gratitude that we should have. When we go in, when you go out to eat someplace, you give them a tip. And what do they call that? A gratuity. Because you're grateful for the service that they gave them. That they gave you. All right, now let's go over to Luke chapter 17, if you would. Read a few verses there. Comment and look on it about there. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, and through Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12, and as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, I don't believe they said it like that. I bet you they shouted it out because they wanted some help. Remember over there in Leviticus, if you were a leper, and I believe you were supposed to have this napkin over your mouth like we have today, and you're supposed to go around and yell, unclean, unclean, if somebody was to, and they were doing the social distancing back then. And I don't believe they were close to the Lord Jesus Christ there, but we'll see and hear in a little bit. And they lifted up their voices, verse 13, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now that's what they were supposed to do. Remember over there in Leviticus and all in those older, the Old Testament books there, the priests were the one to say, hey, that's a leprosy or what? It's got a white hair and a mold and a, you know, on a waft, and I don't remember all those things, those different things. But they judged, kind of like a doctor did, and there were certain things they had to do. Well, they were following, I believe they were following that there. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were what? Did they see the priests? Well, maybe those other guys, but we're going to see here in a little bit. They were cleansed as they were walking on the way. And one of them, verse 50, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. That's a half Jew, half Gentile. I'm a Gentile. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, before I had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I'll tell you something here, just kind of a little commercial what I did. I made it, there was a couple, remember when I told you about those two Pentecostal gals that witnessed to me? Well, I was laying in bed the other night, and I was praying and stuff and couldn't sleep, God brought those two gals to my mind. And I know their names and everything, and I haven't seen them since I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I called my brother. I said, hey, Are these two gals still in Sheridan? He said, yep, still living in the same houses. And I thought, boy, oh boy. So I'm going to go over there. My plan is to go over and just thank him for what they did. Showing me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Showing me how Jesus Christ loved me so much. And now they might be messed up a little bit on the, but they were a great, they steered me in the right direction. And I heard the word of God preached, and I'm very thankful. And I have great gratitude for those girls, those ladies. They were just girls. Now, they're older than I am, so they're probably pretty gray-headed. Debbie knows them both. My wife knows them both. I'm trying. I really am. Remember, how many were saved? How many were healed? How many were healed, were there? There was 10. They were healed. There was 10 healed. How many came back to the Lord Jesus Christ? One. Well, I was that one that day that heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to thank the ones that had showed me. And there was many others that, you know, in my life that that were very instrumental in me coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's many, there's a few in my mind that were great in my eyes, because I am so grateful for that. The one in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become what? New. You know, I remember when he was talking about, I remember Naaman the leper, when he was down, he was a leper, and he went down and he was supposed to dunk in the Jordan and all that 7 times, and he came up and he wasn't healed till that 7, but his skin was like a child's skin. And I bet you that's the way this guy was. Man, he had to see the difference. They might have been even losing appendages and got those back, maybe an arm or a leg or toes. But he was grateful, and he gave glory to God for what he had done. And now turn over to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians chapter 3. Ooh, yeah. You know what? Let's not go there. We've got too much. We better. Sorry. We better go there. Colossians chapter 3. What is that verse that says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? Oh, boy. Ever second guess yourself? What is your best bet to always do? First, always the first one. And which one do you think I always take? Second or third or fourth or something like that. And you always find out the first one. That was when you were, if you didn't know what to answer in school, you ever get the paper out there and you're writing down and you don't know, so you take a guess and you go down a little ways, you come back and erase it and put in some, you should have stuck with the first answer because it's always the best. So Colossians chapter 3, if you would please, in verse 1 it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And he's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us right now. I can pray right now. We prayed early. We can pray as we're sitting here and we talk to the Lord God in heaven. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of this or on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is his our life, shall appear and she shall... then shall he also appear with him in glory. All right, now let's go over to verse 11. Then we'll come back and look at a couple other verses there. Let's go to verse 14. It says, and above all thing, all these things put on charity. What's charity? Love. Charity is love. And we should, if anybody should have the love for people and the grace for people and the care for people, is somebody who knows for sure they're going to heaven. And I fall short on that end many times, and I'm very ashamed of myself on that. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the what? The peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be you what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts and of the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, when we get to heaven, the day that we get to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is, the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to give account. Those that are saved and know that they're going to heaven, we're going to have to get account what we did with the Lord Jesus Christ down here on the earth. If we told people about the... Somebody told me about Jesus Christ, and those two gals were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it was down at the baseball park. I know exactly where I was sitting, and they sat there, and they were weeping that I would trust. You know, and when two ladies were weeping and crying about it, you know, I was very, very uncomfortable. But they told me how God loved me and how that he loved me so much that he died on the cross. And they went through the whole plan of salvation. And like I said, they're a little messed up otherwise. But they got that part right. And it was because of that that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the witness of others in my family also. But the Lord Jesus Christ has been gracious to us. And I need and you need to have a gratitude towards that for what he has done for us. All right, verse 15 there it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And many times we're just going down the road and singing those songs of Zion, how he loved us and died on the cross for our sins. Very thankful, and the gratitude is greatly for what he had done for us. Now, we're going to look at it. So we're going to just stay here for a few minutes. I'm just going to quote a few. Well, we'll just talk about them. I probably won't quote them, mess them all up. But I remember over there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3, it's all about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and everything is going on and everything was peachy keen until what happened? The devil came on the scene. And things kind of went haywire because of that. They ate of the fruit, and the whole thing went south there. But we have to keep in mind, when they were there, they had it all. They had everything that they needed. Didn't have to work for food. It was all right there, and it was just the perfect deal. He even gave her a helpmeet, and God blessed them greatly. But then the devil comes on and throws one little deal out there, one little thing. One of that tree right down there had probably dozens, hundreds of trees to eat from, but he got that out there, and the devil focused on that one thing that hindered them, and here we are today, shazam, as they say. The things that are going on today are because of what happened in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, how they sinned, and they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and sin came upon all of us for all of sin, and the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, probably the driving force there was ingratitude from Adam and Eve, what God had done for them. They just went ahead and you know, it was bad enough that Eve ate of the fruit, but then Adam jumped right in after that because he didn't want, you know, knew there was a difference there, and they both messed up. And they're accountable for that. Just as we're going to be accountable for the things that we mess up and the things that we do here on the earth for the Lord Jesus Christ or not. And there's so much as far as ingratitude when it comes to that. Here a while back, and I hate to keep you, well, no, I don't hate it, I'm going to use it anyways. So we were out, there was a man and woman came into the shop one day, and they were talking about, and they were furious over the fact that they hadn't received their $1,400 stimulus checks. I mean, they were upset, and they told me about it. And told the ones who were standing around there about that. What do you do? I don't even know if I got mine. Well, probably got it. Everybody else got it. But when it comes, I couldn't believe that something like that, because something that was given to you like that, the ingratitude that they had towards that deal. All right, now let's go on. It says, remember, you know what, I went from an exciting thing about this whole thing about you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's not just me. Anybody here that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, I was on my way to hell. I was going to burn forever and pay for my sins in hell. And that was the thing, the driving force that scared me the most. And then Revelation chapter 9, when a guy was preaching on about all these things that are coming out of the bottom of this pit, we're going to chew on me during the tribulation. That was another thing. The fear of the Lord was what brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. But right now, I have the eternal life and the Lord. As many of you here today that have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior have eternal life. I owe my eternal gratitude to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. How many know what conviction is? Boy, I know what conviction is. I remember that day when that goes, you were from Pillsbury Bible College. And he was just a little whippersnapper, just a little guy. He was smaller than you, Nathan. Not saying you're small, but he was smaller than you are. But you're bigger, okay? He was a small guy. And that guy started preaching. And he started preaching on hell and how hot it was. And then he started running up down the aisles and just throwing his old bony finger out. And it just felt like it was hammering off of my chest. And it got, the conviction was so strong that I couldn't hardly even breathe. I didn't get saved that night. It was quite a while later. But the Holy Spirit, I was so grateful to the Holy Spirit of God that took the Word of God and took the Holy Spirit and just did that for me. And I can stand here today and rejoice in the fact that I'm going to heaven. How about you? Yeah. It's exciting to know that we're going to heaven. It's exciting to know the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to die on the cross. The absence of, this was another thing that I so skillfully came up with. It says the absence of the grateful spirit is contrary to the new nature we received when we trusted Christ. We should be grateful for everything we have. There's people that can't even get out of bed, can't get out of a wheelchair, and they're still grateful for what they have. Now, in the middle, early 1900s, turn over to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. We'll look at something here, and then we'll look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Is that before Colossians or after? I'm just kidding. I know where it's at. Philippians chapter 4. Now, in the early 1900s, during the war, during the Second World War, and even at the end and after what had happened, there was a thing that they called was the Americans' favorite pastime. What's that? Baseball. I never did get into baseball. But that was the thing that they had to kind of keep it together during those hard times, those stressful times. There was a man named Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig was probably the most decorated baseball player at that time. Somebody else beat him. He had played in like 2,170 games or something like that. Loved baseball. Played for 15 years. Well, there was one season, the next season he was going in, and he just didn't have it anymore. Didn't have the speed, didn't have the reflexes, didn't have the power, tired easy. And after a while, finally had to go and get checked on to find out what happened. What was going on, and they gave him a terrible, terrible diagnosis. And he was about 35 years old when that happened. They said, how many know what ALS is? You know, that's a terrible debility. We know of somebody here in Dillon. Well, they're not here anymore. They have ALS, and it's a terrible, it's just everything starts to shut down, and the muscles quit, and that. And he got up and gave his last speech, and I'm not going to go the whole speech. It was about that much on a page, and he was, you could tell he was having a hard time, and I watched it, and hard time even standing there and giving the strength to just stand there. But some of the words that he said, this guy was a Lutheran guy, whether he was saved, I don't know. But here's what he said. He felt he was the luckiest man on the face of the earth at 35 years old. And why was that? Because he had good friends. He was doing the thing he loved to do. He had a great family. And he goes on and he thanks everybody's friends and all that stuff. But he felt even though that he got that bad news and that disability, whatever you call it, it was just tough on him, that he was still going to have the stiff upper lip. He died 2 years later at 37 years old. And they called it Lou Gehrig's disease because of that. And, you know, that was a great deal. People were devastated when that man died. And many people were devastated when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Gratitude brings another thing. This now, like I said, the verse, I got to read it again. It says the secret of a secret of having a good day is gratitude. And just because gratitude breeds happiness and thanksgiving, and it also breeds contentment, and gives us that. And we're to be content with the things that we have. And it says in 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, but godliness and contentment is great gain. But a lot of times we're not grateful for the things that the Lord God has given to us. We had a family in our, when I was a child in school, and I don't remember the name. She might remember who they were. You talk about poor as church mouses. They were poor as church mouses. But they were the happiest people I ever knew. They were just happy about it because they had nothing. And nothing to lose. They just had it. Every day was a gift to them. They're very grateful for what they had. And I don't know whatever happened to them, but they were encouraged to a lost young boy on that area. And I think about them many times, the gratefulness that they have that we don't have much today, that I don't have here in 2021, that I should have because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in. We know the end. We know God. We know the complete plan. We know the last verse, the word of the last chapter in the book, in the Word of God. We know that God's not up there wringing his hands right now. He's got all the answers, whether we like it or not. But one of these days, the trumpet's going to blow. And he's going to take the Christians up to heaven, and all that we have down, all the things that we have, we've stored up, the riches that we have, are going to be for naught. It's what we've done for Jesus Christ will last. Until he comes, hopefully, there's going to be a faithful remnant in Dillon, Montana, and throughout the United States is going to be to fulfill the Great Commissions, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, I kind of wish sometimes that I had the boldness those two ladies had. I'm a weenie a lot of times when it comes to afraid that somebody's going to say something to you if you hand them a tract or talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they loved the Lord God, and I wish I did more. The Bible says things are going to, do you think things are going to get harder or better? Oh, man, they're going to get harder. Just in that security stuff, they were talking about the police, and we've seen it, defund the police, and all those terrible things like that, and it's going to make it harder on you. It's going to get harder. Probably already is hard. And people like that, it's just going to be a hard go. But we've got the upper bucket, upper chain, whatever it is. We've got the answer. We know what's going to happen, because when that thing blows, we're going to be hit in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, well, remember over there in Acts chapter 16? It says, what must I do? Let's go over there. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Keep your place in Philippians chapter 4. We'll look back there a little bit in Acts chapter 14, or Acts chapter 16. Apostle Paul's in jail, and they're in there and singing songs and praises, down there in verse 28, and it says, Paul, he's in jail, remember that, but Acts 16:38, it says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, I remember the jailer was going to kill himself because of the great earthquake and all the things that happened, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, that's the jailer, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I'm glad the day that somebody showed me about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and wasn't ashamed to witness to me, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I was one of those, you know, you talk about those people, I'm not so much that way, that when, oh, he really got saved, I was one of those guys that really got saved, did a lot of stupid stuff, but I was just so glad that the Lord God loved me enough to die on the cross for me. Now, John mentioned this over there, it talks about things are going to get a little, we need to be able to walk circumspectly. It's just like when you're hunting. You know, the thing you talked about, hunting, the whole thing, I've done that. I didn't want to raise my hand, look like an idiot, but, oh, you're already, whatever. But anyways, we've all done that in some way or another. We weren't walking and keeping our eyes out, and elk jumps up and takes off or whatever. Well, we need to, not as fools, we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Now we have over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And the Bible says over in John 1, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become what? The sons of God. Everyone that believeth on his name. If you trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a son of God. But it's that point where I had to finally come to the point. It just is everybody in here had to come to the point that realized that you could not get to heaven by your anything. Good works, nothing like that. If it's by good works, then how much do you do to get to heaven? No, Jesus Christ settled that on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross for our sins. And because he loved us enough. That's at John 3:16. Behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, which is just shortly, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I've never seen Jesus Christ a day in my life. But according to the word of God, I know what he looks like. And I know that he loved me enough to die on the cross of Calvary. Now, gratitude opens our eyes to the simple beauties of an ordinary day. We get up in the morning, you know, and I flip my legs over the edge of the bed. Another day. You know, it's something how, I won't use names here, but it's something how, you know, there's something to that. Opposites attract. The lady I spend a lot of time with, she is completely opposite of me. She's a clean freak. I'm a pig. Whatever. It's just all, we don't even have the same, a lot of times don't even have the same, what she wants to do. She wants to go hiking. I'd rather get in a car and drive up the road. That type of stuff, you know. But there's somebody else we know. She gets up in the morning and she's, oh, beautiful day. Beautiful day. Just like somebody else we know. But when I get out of the bed, it's just the opposite. Well, I'd like to be like that. Come to the point. So it's work when we have to do this. When the gratitude opens our eyes on the simple beauty of an ordinary day. Jim Elliot, how many remember Jim Elliot? He was down there in South America, don't remember. The Aki Indians, is that right? And he got him and Nate Saint, and there were some others that got killed. They went in there and they were trying to witness into this tribe, and they got killed. But he said this. He said, Jim Elliot says, wherever you are, be all there. Don't be here and part of the world. If you're going to be a child of the king, act like a child of the king. And do what the king's bidding is. Because one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. I say it over and over, but it could be in the next 5 minutes. Well, wouldn't that be exciting before I even get done? The Lord takes us home, but if you're not ready, you're going to be left behind. And I hope today, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will. You call on him before it's everlasting too late. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit conviction, I can remember the day. I remember where I was sitting in the church, Ruby Valley Baptist Church at Sheridan. I was sitting there was only two rows, but I was sitting about over where you are. Where Thad's sitting over. Thaddy's sitting over in there, about there, and that guy come by there. I was sweating. I was under conviction so badly. And I wanted to be saved, but, you know, I thought, oh, if I get saved, what are people going to think? If I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, what are people going to think? But now we're talking about gratitude today, and just gratitude of what the Lord has done for us, and being able to get up and walk down the street and go shopping or do anything and have vision, sight, have hearing. As you get older, you tend to lose your what? Hearing. Yeah, see, she'll attest. What, lose your mind? Is that what somebody said? Yeah, about that too. But we lose our hearing. I don't know why. It's just could be selective hearing or whatever. I don't know. But anyways, but one of these days those things might go away. But I'm just very, very just thankful, very thankful. Have great gratitude for what God has given me. Now, gratitude is a virtue. Do you know gratitude is a virtue? What do you have to do with a virtue? You have to nurture it. It's something you have to do. It's hard work. It's hard work to be a nice guy when you don't want to be a nice guy. It's a hard. It's hard to not think this guy's crazy. I ought to just smack him and send him on. But no, you've got to be gracious on that. And it's a virtue that we need to work on. Thankfulness and happiness and all those are good things. But gratitude goes even further. It goes to gratitude. I'm very grateful for these for my friends here, and for new friends and such. What the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And how that I'm just going to stay faithful until somebody asked me a while back, not too long ago, they asked me, well, let's just go ahead and look over and we'll start us another church. And I said, what? I said, God didn't call me to start another church. He called me here. And when we moved over here 40 years ago, I'm still here. And I'm going to be here until the Lord Jesus Christ calls me out. But he's going to call me out. And I think that's going to be trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to comfort each other with these words. Lord's coming back. You ready? Lord's coming back. We can comfort each other in those words. In Psalm 103:1, it says, bless the Lord. This is Tony Shirley. He says this all the time. You know, and this is what he got. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, that is within me, bless his holy name. We can bless his holy name and just be very grateful and very grateful for what he has done for us. And I'm so thankful that salvation is so simple. If I was in the Old Testament, I'd probably, you remember when what did they do with the rebellious son in the Old Testament? Stoned him. Man, I'd have been stoned a long time ago. I'm thankful that I came along this time after the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene and he loved me enough to die on the cross that I might have eternal life. Now, the Word of God is so important in that, and the Word of God is so important in the fact that it shows us that we have that we need the Lord Jesus. There's many kids in here today. Thankful for the kids that are here today. Some of them got saved in here, some in Awana, some at home. They're the next generation if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. But we need to stay and just stay the course and go on and fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not fight like this, but just go on and do what we should do for him. Just go on, fulfill the Great Commission, and I hope we can be an example to each other. And maybe one of these days we'll stand before a just and holy God and he might say, well done, that good and faithful servant. But until that day, we'll just keep working for him. And until that day, I hope that you know for sure. I didn't know, but you know, when I first trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't know I had eternal life forever and ever. I didn't know that until later on. But I knew he saved me on that point. And then it's a good thing I don't have social distancing. These guys would be wet down here in the front, and I apologize. But isn't it exciting to know you're going to heaven? It is for me, especially in these older days. I pray that God would be a blessing. Now remember, we're the luckiest men, we're the luckiest women on earth today, because we get to go in and see this. You know, something was very strange. It's kind of little, and I'll end with this. I didn't know they were changing stuff. Remember, what did AD used to stand for? Used to. AD. 1925 AD. What was that? After his death, whatever it is. That's what I thought it was. And then BC was before Christ. That was something else. It's called BCE, before Common Era and after Common Era. Whatever's crazy. But still, they're trying to take the Lord Jesus Christ out of everything just so that people don't hear about how he loved them and he died on the cross for them. So I pray today that we can go on and just serve the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes back and stay faithful. You know, God rewards faithfulness. I want a guy that comes to work every day. In my business, you know, shows up every day and does his job. That's a faithful man. Help us to be faithful to him in every way. All right, Father, thank you this morning, or this evening, this midweek service. Thank you for just dying on the cross for our sins, loving us so much that you gave up your only son to die for us. I pray that, Lord God, you help us to go on and do service for thee and be very gratified and just there's so much that we need to have gratitude for. Father, I pray that you help now as we sing these songs and go on out to the next day. Help us to remember what your word says and to love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Let's turn over to 469. We'll sing a stanza or two, and we'll do the first stanza. And was there three on that, Cindy? 294. 294, Savior like a shepherd lead us. 294, is that right? Yep, that's it. We'll sing the first and the last, and then we'll go on home. 294. If it's time to pray, if you need to talk to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this would be a good time. Talk to me, Travis, anybody in here to say, I don't know for sure whether I'm going to heaven or not. I'd like to know. These things have been written unto you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. We'll do verse 1 and verse 4. to get up tomorrow morning, get that good feeling. Get out, just do it, and have a good day. All right, you're dismissed.